Hi, this is Justin Halliday, the creator of Hero Kids, and you're listening to The Family Gamers.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 82 of the Family Gamers Podcast. 82 is a special number for Anitra because...
that's the year I was born! Woohoo!
Yeah, I was born in 81, and just 3 months before you.
Yeah.
And we forgot about that last time because we were super excited to talk to the Manuscript Caper guys. So shame on me. Anyway, I am your host, Andrew, and as always, I am joined by my lovely wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And we have... We have a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
A little bit.
We started putting the show outline together. Yes, we do outlines on the show, and it just kind of kept piling up.
Yeah.
So I think we're gonna get right to it. Cool.
Yes.
All right.
Right into it.
All right. Where do we start?
Should we tease what we're gonna talk about in this episode?
Sure. So I'm a dwarf,
and I'm a barbarian.
That's a funny thought. We're going to talk about RPGs this week. Now, I will say it again, I'm sure, but we're not a big RPG family, but we've definitely...
we've dabbled in a bit.
Dabbled in a bunch of RPGs, and when we talk, when we say RPG, like, immediately your mind goes to, like, Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, right?
Like,
my
mind
does,
that's kind of the classic
yeah.
RPG. But there's a lot of other things that really would fall into this category of games where you play roles.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about a lot of those.
Yeah. We're also going to cover some news, our usual back talk. We have a For Science.
Woo! For Science! And of course, it's me suffering For Science, as usual.
Never me. No way. and, you know, all the stuff we've been playing and what's up in our lives over the last 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. We actually have, like, legit news this week,
yeah.
Which is kind of cool. So I guess we'll just start with what we've been playing. I mean, that's kind of where we usually get this thing
what
going.
We do.
So go.
All right. So we went, you and I went on a grown-ups only trip.
Yes, it was very romantic.
Sure.
There were romantic bits.
There were romantic moments.
I suppose when I was face planting on the snow on a on a mountain in California, that was not terribly romantic.
But part of what this meant is we had fewer responsibilities than usual, and mm-hmm. so we could play more games.
We could play more games.
So most of the games we're going to say we played while we were away on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We introduced some friends to Baron Park.
We did. And everybody, we all know about
Baron
Park.
We all enjoyed it.
Everybody loves Baron Park. Who doesn't like cute little bears?
Hey, they're so cute.
Mm-hmm.
And fitting little Tetris-y pieces together, mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. those are called, polyominoes. We introduced the same friends to Magic Maze.
Which, every time now, without fail, it becomes the game of who can throw the red pawn onto the table harder.
Who can smash it the loudest. it was very... entertaining seeing the way this particular friend dealt with the do something pawn.
It's fun, you know. One of them, he's like one of the smartest people that I know, and I didn't really have the heart to be like, this game's not just not clicking. Like,
it's just not a good game.
It's just not. Super smart dude, just wasn't.
He was basically like, well, I'm glad I played it. I don't really feel like I need to play it again after mm-hmm. we played a few mm-hmm. rounds, and that's fine.
Yep. We parted as friends.
Yes. We also played Sticky Chameleons, which I showed to a bunch of people, and they're like, I'm going to go buy this for my kids.
Yeah.
Silly. It's so silly.
Well, look, I mean, here's the reality of this. Now, I don't know if you had any drinks that night. Do you have, like, one drink?
I had
one gin and tonic. But a lot of those people did not show similar restraint. And, I mean, if you want to have a good time, get a bunch of those people together and pull out a game where you are slapping little... chits of cardboard with
big long sticky tongues
and it's pretty hilarious.
It was pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty funny.
It did allow me to recognize a shortcoming in the game, which is you need it to be very brightly lit to distinguish the colors well.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny,
the place we had kind of mood lighting.
I had that same problem with Whistle Stop.
Okay.
Which is a pick-up and deliver game by Bezier, like super popular game last year. I mean I had fun playing it was fine. But some of the color... Now, granted, this was day 3 of PAX Unplugged, one of the last
your like, eyes
things
were crossing.
I did. And remember, I knew I had to drive away and all that stuff. I just... Something about the lighting, all the trains were pastel colors or something like that. It was probably similar with this.
Yeah.
It just... Ooh, real bummer, because, I mean, everything else about the game is great.
Yeah, well, so. And that happens sometimes with design decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Our same friend who we introduced games to introduced a couple games to us.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a game he is working on making.
Yeah,
cool.
I don't know how much, designing. I mean, it's not like, there's no legal reason why we can't talk about this game or anything like that, but I think we'll be fine. It's a game called, he calls it Strike a Pose, and basically he's got a theater background, and so all of his drama friends love this game.
Yeah, and his hardcore gamer friends don't.
Yeah.
It's a silly party game. We definitely had a lot of fun playing it. It was pretty ludicrous. You are looking at two cards which give you both a person and like a thing that you're doing. The catch is that each card has several options on it. And you are secretly rolling dice to figure out which ones you need to portray.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is trying to guess which of those options is what you're trying to portray.
But the tricky thing is that
they're similar.
They're really similar. It would be things like pensive, thinking, and wondering, for example. I mean, I don't think that's a card we ran into, but there were a couple where there was some alliteration in the descriptions, even though one or two of them were actually completely different.
Yeah.
It was fun. Languid was a bunch of funny stuff. But anyway, I mean, it was hilarious because, you know, one guy had to be, he was a passive aggressive teenager. Like, how do you do that?
Because
the trick is there's no motion.
The option was tween, teen, or 20 something.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So those are the kinds of. So this is striking a pose, right? So everybody's supposed to avert their eyes until the person strikes the pose and says, okay.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be static. So. Yeah.
So it was really funny. I had a couple that were really embarrassing.
It was really. When you're the person striking the pose, it's really difficult, but it was also really funny, and you know it'll be someone else's turn soon. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and then basically everybody guesses, and if more than half the people guess it, you guess either one, you get
correctly.
That
yeah,
card
you get that
as
one.
Like a prize.
Yeah, I think
kind of in that apples to apples.
He might be like tweaking the scoring still a little bit.
Yeah, there was feedback
really,
in development.
Really, the goal of the game is to make a fool of yourself and have fun, which we all did.
Yep,
so
indeed, we sure
well.
Did. So, so that was Strike a Pose from unknown publisher, you know, to be named
we
later. We hope.
Yeah. So our friend also introduced us to a game called Cursed Court, which is by a fairly new game designer, Andrew Hansen, and published by Atlas Games. This is a really interesting game. It is a little bit of a deduction game. It's got a political theme, but you're also betting on outcomes. The actual playstyle is reminiscent of Texas Hold'em.
Okay.
There are cards dealt out around the table between all of the players. So you have a card, you know, between you and the person on your left, and you have a card between you and the person on your right that are hidden. Only the two of you can see those cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly, you know, for each turn around the table, one more public card is revealed until three public cards have been revealed, I think. Might be four. Whatever. And so what you're doing is there's this grid of nine characters, which is what's on the cards, and you're trying to place bets to get points based on which characters are going to come up at the end of the game.
Okay.
So with a small number of people, this is a lot of bluffing and deduction. With a large number of people, which is how we played it, it basically turns into a confidence map of what everybody thinks is going to be out at the end of the round.
Sure.
And you can place bets on what's going to be out, but then you can kick other people out from their bets by betting twice as much.
Huh, interesting. That's an interesting
mechanic. So there was definitely some back and forth kicking people out over and over.
What happens to that person's money? Do they get it back?
They get their... So it's not really money. It's just chips that... in the long run mean nothing. It's just you have a certain number of chips available to you for betting.
Sure.
They get them back if you kick them out. Sure. So then they can go bet on something else instead.
Right.
So it was definitely a fun play. And light enough that we could discuss while and have side conversations while the game was going on.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Let's see. What else did we play? We played Stroop. I love watching this break people's brains.
Yes. Stroop is funny. It's funny to watch people put things down. No, I can't do that. Ah, pull it back. You know, yeah. It's funny.
We played a little bit more Crosstalk, which we did. Talked about
and
before.
You know what? I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but one of the guys that we played Crosstalk with 4 days later sent me a message on our company chat boards. Like, man. I've been thinking about what I should have said instead of instead of this other thing. So that was, I mean, it's got some staying power.
Again, it's so hard because your clues are single words. It's,
yeah, you know, I mean, okay, the clues are single words. You know, I've been thinking about this because this is a game we're going to write a review for, and it's really hard. Like, this is a hard game.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, your typical easy... or, you know, relatively easy party game in the same vein as Pictionary or Taboo or something like that. But it's much harder.
Yeah, I almost want to play one more time with kind of the table agreement that we're going to pick the hard stuff on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, the mechanic of I give a clue and then the other team guesses and then they give a clue and then our team gets... like, I really like that back and forth
thing. Yeah, I like the back and forth.
You know, we haven't broken out the hint boards, really. And, and maybe that's something that we can kind of do something
I definitely want to try that once or twice with the hint boards.
But it's a really... it's a hard game. It is hard.
Yeah. It's a game to think hard about. Mm-hmm. We played some more Ancestry. Love this game. Love it.
Yep.
It's so light. This, on the other hand, is super easy to get into and play.
Over and over and over again.
Over.
And it's a little bit deceiving in its depth.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to play.
In its strategic depth.
But you can use a lot of strategy.
Right. And that was actually a comment that our game designer, Strike a Pose friend, had made, was about 3/4 of the way through the first game we played of it. He's like, huh. I feel like this is a little bit deeper than you let on. I was like, well, I didn't lead on or not lead on in any way, my friend. I just merely said this is a game we should play.
We played some more Viral. Viral is still enjoyable. We are trying it out at all the different play counts before we write a review of it.
Yeah, and with a lot of different people. I mean, this is probably, out of all the stuff that we've written review for in recent memory, this is probably the one that we've got the most variety on players.
Oh, yeah, sure.
In. And
everything down to 7 years old and... up to hardcore gamers.
I think when our 7-year-old, 6 at the time, was like, this game is awesome. I want to keep playing this game. I think that was like a real...
Turning point.
Yeah. And just, it was really interesting to see him just get so into it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've literally, at the same time, sitting around the table, had a 60-year age gap in players.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Got in a few more plays of OK Play in preparation for writing a review on it. That review is currently on the website.
Mm-hmm.
OK Play, not a lot of depth there. More depth than Tic-Tac-Toe.
Yeah, we played this on a...
We played it
We played it at 8,000 feet.
Yeah.
We were waiting for food at a random restaurant.
This crazy restaurant at the top of a mountain.
On top of one of the mountains in Squaw Valley, California.
Yeah.
And we played Poker Play.
But it's like, for what it tries to do, it totally nails it. It's an easy game to pick up, play anywhere, with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And then, our most recent gameplay, just today, we finally got... Finally. Wait for it. The Grim Forest!
We got the Grim Forest.
Can you tell someone's a little excited? Just a little bit.
Well, I mean, we've only been waiting like 6 months for it or something like that.
That's the problem with Kickstarter games.
Yeah, it is the problem with Kickstarter games. But the game is beautiful. It is fun to play. It doesn't... You know, you had made a comment that it plays longer than you feel like you expect it to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't drag out. It just takes longer to play.
It just takes longer.
And it's got a great tempo to it, right? Because everything continues along. There's no dragging while something's going on. I mean, sometimes when you've got like 3 or 4 or 5 fables that have different effects because somebody played something that will happen on the next turn and then everybody has to play a fable card, it gets a little... But I mean, we played it at max player count. We played it at 4 players.
We did.
And it was still, I mean, it was at the later end of that 45 to 60 minute time frame, but
It ended up taking more than 60 minutes, but...
Yeah, I mean, we were also wrestling a three-year-old.
And yes. A couple there were some other reasons why. So.
Right, but I mean, it didn't...
It didn't drag or anything.
The tempo was great, but it filled the hour plus.
Yeah.
It was a joy to look at. I mean, I look forward to getting more friend cards and more fable cards out and just looking at the art because they are beautiful.
We talk a lot about how pretty it is, but I think it should be emphasized that this is also, it's a really fun game and it's fairly light. Mm-hmm.
This game is so beautiful that it inspired a guy who paints minis to do a tutorial on how to paint minis because this game was so beautiful.
Wow. Well, it's also inspiring our daughter to want to paint minis. Yep. So
we're
going to
be buying some cheap minis.
Yeah. Start with some cheap ones.
Yep.
Expect to hear lots more about how much we love the Grim Forest.
Yeah. We'll be mentioning it every time we have a what we've been playing for the next 4 months.
In video games, not much has changed except we finally relented and let the three-year-old have his own account to play Mario Odyssey.
So this is how this went down. So we have a lot of conversations about how we navigate screen time with kids and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And do we let our kids play video games and yada, yada. So the reason why this went down is because, I had the boys because they were sick the day before and you were
at church. They were sick-ish.
Yep. And you were at church. So with our daughter. And so, you know, we had a little Bible lesson at home, and then I was like, well, why don't you guys watch some TV? I got a little bit of work to do. And then they're like, oh, Dad, play some Mario Odyssey. So I did. And then our 7-year-old Asher was like, hey, can I have some time to play? Elliot, our 3-year-old, of course, wanted to. So I said, all right, Ash, here's the deal. He's going to go down for quiet time in about 20 minutes. So why don't you play some 2-player with him as Cappy?
Mm-hmm.
For 20 minutes, and then you'll be fine. It's like, fine. So they're going along. He's at, like, Bowser's Kingdom or whatever.
Yeah, he's all the way, like, near the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure I have more moons than he does.
Oh, yeah, but...
But anyway, so he's way down there. So he's trying to do this stuff that requires finesse that's difficult for him. Never mind difficult for him with somebody trying to throw a hat around. And he's really struggling with it and having a tough time and blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, oh, you know, there's really no reason why you can't play 2-player... on one of the easier levels, why don't you just fly back? And he's like, Dad, I can't leave. It was that whole you can't fly back thing. So like, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'll set up Elliot his own account. Elliot can play 2-player with someone. Anybody can be player 2, but Elliot gets to control Mario.
Yep.
And that's kind of how it started. I really didn't intend for him to start playing single player. You were letting him play single player.
I let him
I'm not worried about it or anything like that, but you know, that's how it all started.
It's interesting to see how he interacts with it. Some is much the same, but some is definitely different. He's he wants to go out and explore, but the way he explores is not as methodical as us, certainly, but not even as straightforward as the way that the big kids explore.
Well, I mean, he doesn't really have the fine motor skills, right?
So it's partly the fine motor skills, and it's partly just, you know, not really having the focus
yet. Okay.
So he's just running around, and he's like, why can't I get more moons? I'm like, well, because you've been standing in the same spot for 20 minutes.
Right. Well, he understands the idea of success.
Yeah.
But not the work for success part. Yeah. Like most millennials. Oh, did I go there? I did.
He's too young to be a millennial.
I know. And I technically am a millennial too. It was a joke, you guys. We love you. Please,
fine.
Please don't stop subscribing to the show.
All right. But so that's it for what we've been playing. Trying to burn through it this week because we have some news.
Oh boy. So much news. All right, so the first piece of news, this is something that, for me, came completely out of nowhere. So we've talked a lot about how much we love Game Rate.
Yep.
We've talked a lot about how much we love, I don't know, Pandemic.
Yep. And right? Forbidden Island, and Forbidden Desert.
Forbidden Desert. And I was poking around on the Facebooks sometime, I don't know, last week, something like that. And I saw Game Rate was posting a trailer. Which I thought was weird.
Huh. Well, that's odd.
And I clicked on that, and there was some lightning and stuff. And then Matt Leacock's name came up, and then I started to get excited.
Yeah. So we're not going to tease this as much as Game Rite did. They are releasing a game called Forbidden Sky.
So this is the third game in that Forbidden kind of saga.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about how much we love cooperative games, how much we've loved the Forbidden games, and Forbidden Sky is scheduled to come out right around Gen Con this year.
Yeah.
We are on the queue for
I'm excited to see it.
So that's going to be a fun thing to bring to you guys.
Yeah.
So Forbidden Sky, keep your eyes out.
News for other families who have a Nintendo Switch and want to play more multiplayer games. There is currently a deal where Joy-Cons are discounted by $9.
Nine whole dollars.
Hey, you know what?
What is that, 11%?
Better than paying full price.
I guess. Anyway, that's on Amazon. Do you just regular Amazon it?
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but get on that because those things don't last very long.
Yeah, no.
Also, in Nintendo news, they announced their online service so all the parents can get freaked out.
But it's going to be similar to like PlayStation Online or something like that, where it's mostly about getting other games to play.
Yeah, but
I mean,
still,
yes, some with
it's the stuff that freaks people out. Anyway, but it's like $30, and Nintendo's online thing is weird. Anyway, I highly recommend if that's something you're even remotely interested in to look into it.
Yeah,
if you want to do multiplayer chat, you have to have some smartphone app and all this crazy stuff. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
I appreciate though that they try to lock it down more. Even though it ends up being weird and a pain in the butt.
If you want to play multiplayer games, just play on a different console.
Just don't play on the Switch.
then you can't play Mario Kart. Anyway.
Speaking of which, they're going to release a new Mario Kart called Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah, it's a mobile game.
Yeah.
It's weird. So they're actually, you know, they started with that Miitomo or whatever it was, that weird game. And then they went to Super Mario Run. And now it is Mario Kart Tour.
I think that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. And again, especially for those of us with small children.
This is bananas.
They are teaming up with Illumination Studios.
The Minion people.
Yes. And Secret Life of Pets and Shrek. To release a Mario movie.
It will almost certainly be better than the last Mario movie.
Yeah, I didn't think that was even in question.
Yeah. It's probably going to be animated, I'm assuming.
Since it's Illumination Studios,
trailers or anything,
I would think.
Yeah, but but that's definitely something to keep your eyes out for. And one more thing, while we're on Nintendo, my love for all things Zelda?
Obsession?
Possibly. I did buy a unique 8-bit Zelda print. Not even a print, it's a painting.
It's a painting.
I need help.
I don't know why you do 8-bit painting, but it's cool.
It's
iconic, sure.
Anyway. Yeah. So there is a non-licensed fan-made board game, print and play board game, a cooperative game two to four players called The Legend of Zelda Clockwork Realm. So yeah, I would love to play a real Zelda board game with, like, legit art and, you know, all the Zelda people. But
that isn't Zelda Clue? Or Zelda Monopoly?
I don't want I love USAopoly for a lot of things, but I don't want one of these themed things. I want, like, a game about, like, basically I want Vast the Crystal Caverns, but Zelda themed. Like, that, okay, yeah. If you theme that, I'm there.
Fair.
So it's definitely something to check out. Like I said, cooperative 2 to 4 players, downloadable, which means free. Which is great.
Yes.
So if you want to download and print, you know,
well, it's not
40 pages of
not commercially viable in any way because Nintendo holds on to its intellectual property pretty strongly.
Yeah, so, I'm actually surprised it's still out there. It's been out there for a couple of months, but I just found out about it. So if you like Zelda, like I like Zelda, then well, first of all, I apologize, and second of all, go ahead and check that out. The Legend of Zelda: Clockwork Realm. Anitra will include a link in the show notes.
I will.
And now it's time for another segment. Backtalk.
We won't take it from our kids, but we love it from you.
We have lots of backtalk this week. We mentioned before that our daughter was interested in painting minis because she saw the Mega Minis that were on display at PAX Unplugged. Mm-hmm. And so we went up on, I guess, Twitter, Instagram? I don't even remember.
On the Tweetster.
On social media. And we started asking around. And Steve Dutzman from Engage Family Gaming gave us some recommendations like picking up a copy of Magic the Gathering Arena of the Planeswalkers, which I think,
oh look, we already have one.
Yeah, which we have. I think I paid like all of $5.
Well, that's why to pick it up to get the minis.
I got in a trade as a throw-in or something like that. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But so we did pick that up. And I got another recommendation for Arcadia Quest minis, maybe?
All right.
I'll look them up while we're on break, and when we come back from break, I'll tell you exactly which ones they are. But there was I mentioned the guy who did that painting tutorial, and he gave me a lot of really great recommendations. So I will grab that and share it.
Again on Twitter, at JCPLteens, which is the Jackson County Public Library in Indiana, responded to our review of OK Play. And they said, we love playing this at the library.
I mean, it makes sense. Cool. It's easy to learn. It's easy to teach. It's easy to watch. It's easy to jump in and play. So
yeah, it's fast.
A lot of sense.
It's good.
Yep. At Brad Sauer tweeted to us and said, we love playing the game Dream Home. It's a great introduction to strategy games for younger audiences that make it a lot of fun. I've seen this game out there. It hasn't really been something that piqued my interest enough to want to pick it up or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about the game, but I'd be willing to give it a look.
I mean, it's got, you know, nice art.
Looks pretty.
Which is really all you can tell from just looking at it quickly. Who publishes that?
Looks like published in the U.S. by Rebel.
Cool.
I think.
All right. At Kushmanzada writes, I just heard a great interview with the designers at Calliope Games on at Family Gamers AA. This sounds like a super fun game mechanic twist with a super fun over-the-top setting. So I just backed the Mansky Caper on Kickstarter.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, we had a super fun time having a super fun interview with a bunch of super fun dudes. So
yeah,
we're pretty much completely in line with you, man.
I was wrong. Dream Home is published by Asmodee.
Naturally. Everything is published by Asmodee.
Naturally.
You did some extra writing.
Yeah, because writing for one blog is not enough, apparently. No, I wrote a guest post for a friend of ours who blogs over at mummyconfessions.com. That's mummy, not mommy, because she's Australian.
She's not really. I mean, she's American.
She is
married,
naturalized Australian.
Yeah.
We've been posting it all over social media, but I'll also link to it in the show notes. It's a piece on great board games to play with very young children. It's something we touch on frequently, but I figured it was time for a full-on focus.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have very young children, you should check that out.
Definitely. Let's see. So what else? Amala commented on our Match Madness post because we just released a review for Match Madness, which is a great game from Foxmind Games, by the way, and said, it sounds like it would be a hit in our household. Thanks for posting here. By the way, you did a great job taking the pictures.
Yay!
Yeah, you're like that one picture, that feature picture. Look, you could put that on the box.
Why do you think I made it the feature picture?
It's a great picture.
I'm working on it.
So.
While we were on vacation in the mountains, we posted on Facebook because we managed to find the one game store in the Olympic Village.
And we saw a bunch of stuff that we kind of almost thought about buying, but ultimately, because nothing was, you know, skiing down an Olympic mountain themed, we decided not to.
We already have Dicey Peaks.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
So we bought somewhat more traditional souvenir-y stuff instead.
Yep. So that is our back talk, and we are actually just going to shoot right into our break because we have lots of stuff to talk about. Before we get into our topic, though, we will discuss some science. This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com. And we're back. So, I mentioned For Science. Now, usually, our For Science segments detail me talking about some ridiculous food that I ate at some ridiculous place. I think the last one was the mac and Cheetos from Burger King or something like that.
I feel like a lot of them have involved Taco Bell.
Oh, it's really unfortunate. This one, however, is basically the complete opposite. So last week, due to some not-so-gentle nudging from Once a Month Meals, a subscription plan that we use, and also James Hudson of Druid City Games, who makes The Grim Forest available now on pre-order, Skybound Games. Anyway, I decided a couple of weeks ago that I would do Whole 30 for the month of February.
You did. And so we prepped a bunch of meals using a once-a-month meals plan.
That subscribed to basically the paleo diet.
Yeah, it's basically paleo with a few minor tweaks.
Yep.
But it's only for a month. Yay!
So we actually started this 2 days before February because February has 28 days. And anybody who can do the math says 28 plus 2 equals 30.
That's 30 days.
So, I've been having... So I've been doing breakfast and lunch stuff. You guys have really only had to partake in dinner-related Whole30 activities.
Yeah.
So how has it been for you? Actually, that's a bigger question.
It's gone a lot better than I feared it would.
Yeah.
We
had meatloaf today, and meatloaf was pretty good.
I gotta be honest with you, that was pretty good. All the kids ate the same stuff that you and I did, which is not an everyday occurrence.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes they, Elliot's, shelf lip extends out about a foot and a half.
Yeah, no kidding. No, but I mean, I try not to make separate meals, but I do, if it's stuff that I know the kids are not big fans of, I do tend to make some extra sides or something for the kids. And with the meatloaf, I mean, we had meatloaf and we had roasted cauliflower and we had green beans. And everybody liked everything, which
was amazing.
It was truly amazing.
You make a meatloaf and you lay some bacon over the top of it, like, people are going to like that.
You know what? They liked it way better than my meatloaf, so you win.
It's not about a you win thing. I like your meatloaf.
Yeah, you and me, but they don't. So I think we're going to go with this recipe from now on.
Yeah, sure. I just figured that I'd mention some stuff because, it's a little nutty, right? This whole...
It's no grains.
No grains, no dairy, no processed sugar, no legumes, which is just annoying.
Yeah, I mean, and when you say no processed sugar, like, really no added sugar of any kind.
Yeah.
And no added sweetener of any kind. So no artificial sweeteners, no maple syrup, no honey, small amounts of fruit juice are okay.
Yeah, they don't really restrict fruit. Like, it's not no carb, right?
Right.
So they don't really have much of an issue with fruit. Although I've tried to scale back on fruit and even avocados. I tried to scale back on a little bit.
Scale back on avocados. This is from the man who a couple years ago would not eat anything with avocado in it.
I totally cop to it, but I'm a fan now. Anyway, the thing that's really interesting about this is I've been kind of waiting for the carb flu.
The carb flu.
Everybody talks about the carb flu. It's this part of the whole transition where your body switches to using sugar for fuel and goes to fat for fuel, and you're supposed to go through sugar withdrawal and feel like you have the flu and feel like garbage.
And you didn't.
Not at all. And like, to the point where I'm wondering if I'm doing something wrong.
It was suggested that part of that may be that we went really heavy on sweet potatoes for the first couple of days.
Right, but I had our leftovers that had some sweet potatoes mixed in, but I haven't had sweet potato hash for 3 days.
Yeah,
I thought that was the big thing.
You're starting to wean yourself off of even that stuff now, so I don't know. I'm glad you're not feeling it. It's still not enough to encourage me to try to do the same. However, I will say that you being on Whole30 and me trying to be supportive of you being on Whole30 means that I have upped my game a little bit. I'm eating more vegetables and more fruit and less starch.
Yes. All I have to do is start buying meat.
I cannot live a life without starch. It's not going to happen.
Well, you can eat potatoes.
But I can have less.
You're going to eat potatoes.
I cannot live a life without grains, all right?
Okay.
Not happy.
Like, in all seriousness, I'm going to say two things about this, and then we'll lay this to bed. By the way, if anybody has done any of these wacky... I shouldn't say that. That's not nice. Paleo or Whole30 or whatever, I'd love to hear your comments. The two things that I will say is, number one, there is sugar in everything.
Been telling you that for years.
Go to the... This is your homework. Go to the supermarket, or when you're at the supermarket already, look at the bacon. And I'm not talking about like maple cured bacon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just talking about like regular bacon. Yeah. Like hickory smoked bacon. Every single package of bacon has artificial sugar in it.
I've been telling you for years.
Has dextrose in it.
Yeah.
Every single one, except weirdly, the low sodium bacon.
That doesn't sound natural.
But it did, I mean, it didn't have any whacked out ingredients in it. And all right. Actually, so we, so that's number one. And number two is, I kind of miss dairy sometimes, like cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But it's less about, I want to shove, like,
hunks of cheese in your mouth.
Ultra sharp cheddar in my face.
Like you used to do.
Which is, look, it's delicious. I mean, I still think it's delicious. It's more about, like, the convenience. It's like,
Yes.
It's a texture thing. Like, there's a lot of foods that, you know, maybe you mix in some shredded cheese and it kind of gives it a little bit of that smoother texture and it's just nice.
And everything sticks together better. And
And the other thing is, I mean, I don't, if I can't eat bread, it's not the end of the world, but like, I can't have wraps.
Yeah.
Which, it's just annoying. And I can't have, like, rice cakes.
Basically.
Like, I can't have peanut butter, which is stupid, but I can have almond butter, but I don't have anything to put it on.
Fruit.
I mean, I could put
vegetables.
Fruit? Almond butter on fruit? What are you, crazy? I could put it on celery. That's not a fruit.
I was thinking, like, apples and bananas.
I see, you dip this stuff. I don't.
Oh, that's, so tasty. So tasty.
Have you done it with almond butter? Because almond butter is not as good as peanut butter.
I have in the past tried it with almond butter. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's fine. Whatever. So, I mean, there's been some really kind of, I guess, unexpected, like, things like that where it's just a nuisance.
There's,
like, we made jalapeno chicken burgers, which were on point. They were amazing. And I'm really looking forward to, now that we have some pre-cooked bacon, having a chicken burger, a jalapeno chicken burger with some guacamole and then some bacon.
All wrapped up in lettuce?
Wrapped in lettuce.
Nice.
That is going to be boom!
So, yeah, I mean, I think what you're trying to get to is that on Whole30, there really aren't convenience foods. There's no grab it and go unless you're talking a handful of nuts.
Well, I can eat Lara bars, certain Lara bars.
Right.
But I'm even trying to avoid those because I want those to be like, I really just need to have something.
Right. But like, you can't say, you know, like, oh, for lunch today, I'm going to have this sandwich and I'm just going to grab it and eat it at my desk or eat it really quick. You're doing a, you know, full sit down type meal pretty much every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, mm-hmm. which...
I mean, look, this morning I had scrambled eggs with spinach in them and a couple of things of bacon and three clementines.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Probably tomorrow I'm going to make another frittata, frittata, cha-cha-cha-cha,
cha-cha-cha. He loves saying that. Frittata.
Frittata. So, well, maybe not. We need more eggs, by the way. Thanks. Anyway, I don't want to keep talking about the Whole30 thing, but... it's fine. I mean, I lost a little bit of weight, but it's mostly been like bloat weight anyway. It's not a big deal. And that's not even why I'm doing it. The point of the program is to eat clean for 30 days, introduce things back slowly and see how your body reacts to those things.
Yeah.
And that's scientific and I like that. And that's interesting. And that's why it's for science. Also, you get more energy. Have you noticed?
I have noticed. On the practical side of things, I'm glad this is getting all of us to eat a little better. But anyone who says eating on the Whole30 doesn't have to be more expensive was not already cooking everything from scratch in the first place. Eating on the Whole30 is more expensive.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I don't think anybody thinks that that's not true.
Oh, I've definitely heard that comment, but it's
by crazy people.
They're comparing it to, like, you know, buying a bunch of convenience foods. Yes, it doesn't have to be more expensive than that, but if you're already having a grain-heavy diet where you are cooking everything from scratch, it's going to be more expensive.
Well, and the fact that we can't eat things like beans.
Yeah. Like, also not helpful.
But anyway, let's move on from Whole30 to talk about something else that is almost as wholesome, and that is pretending that you're someone else.
So you're playing the role of a healthy person.
I'm being a healthy person.
Sorry, I was trying to tie it in somehow.
Harsh. Role-playing games. So we started at the beginning of the show and basically copped to the fact that we're not a huge role-playing family.
Yeah, we played a lot of D&D in college.
We did, yeah. And I mean, we're not anti-D&D or anything like that. Like, I don't think we're going to come off that way anyway. No. We're totally fine with it. But what we did want to do is kind of illuminate this world of role-playing games in such a way that it gives a little bit of perspective and maybe mention some games that somehow you haven't heard about that would, you know, be interesting to you. So I think that what we'll do is we'll start, we're going to kind of go through like three or four or five or whatever steps, and we'll start with games that require no preparation.
Sure.
Right? Because let's face it, parents are busy. We don't have time to prepare things a lot of the time.
It's true.
So games that require no preparation whatsoever.
So we talk about role-playing games, and role-playing games are good and fun. And sometimes that's what we as adults or older teenagers or whatever need to kind of get into a new persona and act stuff out. But kids do this naturally. I mean, playing pretend is role play.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, imagination is something that's really healthy.
Yes.
And there, I mean, usually I don't really think that adults do a ton to really encourage imagination in their children. But that doesn't mean we don't have to. Or that doesn't mean that we shouldn't.
Yeah, well, and you can use role-playing games to stretch your kid's imagination in different ways from where they go. Because I know I, as a kid, kind of got into a rut of doing the same kind of play-pretend games over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely seen it in other children as well. So be like, well, you know, I know you like to play doctor, but why don't we pull this out instead, and you can instead be a hero?
Right. You know? So the first one of these is something we've mentioned on the show a million times, and that's story cubes.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times when you think about story cubes, you've got these 9 cubes with different icons on them. You roll them, and you tell a story in the third person. But you don't have to tell a story in the third person.
It could be in a first person.
It could totally be the first. So you can, that can be the rule. Like, okay, we're going to play story cubes, but I want it to be a story about you.
This is our story.
Yep.
And what are you doing?
You can be or do whoever, you know, whatever or whomever you want, and tell a story. And so that's role-playing.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, there's no preparation involved. You grab them and grab and go. It's a convenience game.
Well, we've talked before that it's good. It's a great restaurant game sort of thing as well.
So next to that, if you want a little bit of structure around what you're doing, we kind of came up with two games for this.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Untold, also by the creators of Story Cube. So yep. Hub Games.
Yep. So Untold gives you a huge amount of freedom that, I mean, you come up with the setting, you come up with the characters, and then the story cubes just kind of, and the board for Untold, just kind of help you move your story along.
Yep, it's like there's a conflict, and it's related to these things that happened before, and how do you tie them together? And you just craft a story out of nothing.
Yeah.
And you get to role play. There's a little bit of prep, but really not much.
Yeah. Similarly, a game that we talked about a while back.
A long time. It was one of our first interviews, actually, with Kevin Crane.
Kevin Crane's Robit Riddle.
So this is a game that was funded on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And now is right around fulfillment on Kickstarter formally, but they just had an exciting announcement.
Yeah. It was signed by a publisher. So once all the Kickstarter stuff is out, it will be put into production again by Atlas Games.
So while you're out there buying Cursed Court from Atlas Games,
yes,
you can also pre-order Robit Riddle from Atlas Games.
Yeah, to hit an entirely different audience. Robit Riddle I like as well because it's definitely pick up and go. You don't need to know anything about the game. The gameplay itself is really simple, and just everything comes back to encouraging you, the players, to tell a story among yourselves about how you're solving the problems that come up.
Right. This one's a little bit more involved, right? Because your characters have stats, which is different from Untold. So it's got a little bit more of this going on.
You have to be a robot.
Yep.
It has stats already.
You're going through a predefined plot. But the neat thing is, this is really, it's not a combat game. Like, one of the things that I hear about role-playing games is, oh, it's a game where you're just kind of trying to come up with a way to fight people.
Mm-hmm.
And in Robit Riddle, you're actually really encouraged to solve problems, you know, by doing things other than fighting. I mean, fighting can happen, but it's really not that common.
Yeah, no, it's mostly about talking things out, coming up with ways to convince people to let you do what you want,
or avoiding, or whatever.
You know, avoid enemies and things like that. So I like, and it's very approachable for young kids, because you only need one person who's able to read.
One people.
Quiet you.
But it says 8+, and that's probably about right. If you have a gaming 6-year-old, you could probably squeeze that out as long as you have a reader. It comes with basically a narrative book that kind of helps you along with the story.
Yeah. So moving to more involved games, the trio, or maybe it's a quartet now, of role-playing games from Plaid Hat, which include Mice and Mystics, Tail Feathers, Stuffed Fables, which is the brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
These are all games where you need someone who has sat down, really read and digested the rules, understands the setting before you can get into the game.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately the game provides you with everything, so you don't need to have a dungeon master or a game master or whatever it is. You need to have someone who kind of adjudicates what's going on. Yes. So
and moves the game along.
This isn't a game that you'd probably, I guess that probably the youngest you would want someone like that to be would be like 12 or 13.
In terms
of the one who's kind of helping the game move along, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you can get by with 3 10-year-olds playing a game like this. Maybe, but it'd be tough.
Probably not, yeah.
You know, with us, with Mice and Mystics, we sat down to play it, and we didn't have any exposure to begin with. And it was a mess, and I actually feel kind of bad for the kids.
But you know what? And we now talked that, about that on the show. Now before. That there's been some time between that attempt and now, our older kids are asking again, if we could pick it back up and try playing again.
Well, it helps that both of them can read now.
Yeah, that does help.
so that'll be
good. But also just they're ready to get back into that type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Mice and Mystics, at least, which is of these three, that's the one we've played, is pretty combat heavy.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, it's that kind of game. But, I mean, talk about things that make you pretend you are people who have been turned into mice, but you still have some of the abilities you had before, and you're trying to kind of navigate this maze to get out and warn other people about what's going on. There's magic, there's, you know, all kinds of fantastical
things. Yeah, and because you've been turned into mice, you're fighting other
rats
animals
and
bugs
scorpions
and rats.
And
I think there's a cat, you know, in it. And if you like that game, there's a bunch of expansions to Mice and Mystics,
which
is really nice. And then Tail Feathers, which is the next game that Plaid Hat released, is actually in the same universe.
Right. But you don't need to have played Mice and Mystics.
You don't
to
need
get
to
it.
Have, but if you have the Mice and Mystics cards, it allows you to do a little bit more stuff. So that's nice too. And then
Stuffed Fables is brand new, completely different universe. Now you are stuffed animals protecting your children. Your owners from nightmares and things that go bump in the night.
Is it skewed a little bit younger too? I think it might be.
I mean, stylistically it is.
Okay.
Without having seen the game in person, I don't know if it's, you know, something like a 6-year-old could play or not.
Sure. But there's a lot of these kinds of options out there for these games where you don't have to. Nobody has to build up the story itself, right? The structure is there.
The story is there.
You're playing the roles of these characters, which is a little bit more of a kind of a conventional RPG.
Yeah. Speaking of conventional RPGs, another interview we did way back when was with... Really long time ago. Mm-hmm. All the way back in episode 5, we talked to Justin Halliday, the creator of Hero Kids.
Mm-hmm. So here's the cool thing about Hero Kids. Hero Kids is basically a D&D style game, right? But
yes.
They give you tons of scenarios, and
yes.
So you can go through the scenarios and do those.
So you need a dungeon master for sure.
Yeah, it's way simplified, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is a game that our kids actually understood Hero Kids before they understood Mice and Mystics.
Yeah,
and it was. I remember we played the first scenario, and I actually had to just keep throwing enemies at them because they were
extra
destroying
enemies.
Everything. So it's really, really great. It's the entire thing. You can buy it on DriveThruRPG, so you're not buying voluminous source books and manuals and stuff, and then just print it all out, which is exactly what we did. Yeah. We actually went out and bought a laminator.
Because we bought Hero Kids and we decided we wanted to laminate, especially the little standees and stuff to keep them a little more durable.
You know, that is a fantastic game for kids. You have to be okay with the role-playing violence.
Well, so Hero Kids is great for if you as parents or aunts and uncles or grandparents or whatever, if you have really enjoyed things like D&D, but you don't really want to throw the, like, you have six different stats and all these different abilities at kids, Hero Kids takes a similar style of play and strips it down to the essentials.
Right. So you've got a couple of stats. Everything is done on D6s instead of D20s or D12s or D8s or D-whatevers. And so it definitely is simplified, but it does a great job of distilling that RPG formula down to a younger age.
Yes.
So.
And then, of course, I mean...
And then finally we get to...
You've kind got the classic.
The classic stuff, right? So Dungeons & Dragons. This is, you know, 5th edition is what's out now, I guess.
Yes.
So you go out...
I've heard really great things about 5th edition. I have,
too. You buy a $40 source book. You buy your monster manual. You either buy some scenarios or your game master crafts one. And that's probably mom or dad, I guess, in this scenario.
I would think so, most likely.
You get a rolled up map... where's mine? It's around here somewhere.
you make a grid map or a hex map, depending on how you want to allow people to move. I mean, there are other options that aren't D&D, to be fair.
There's tons of
GURPS. There's, if you want to go a different direction, one of our favorite role-playing games for teenagers and adults is Paranoia.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of this ridiculous, almost... I don't know, Terry Pratchett-like science fiction, hyper-paranoid, crazy...
If Terry Pratchett or maybe Douglas Adams wrote...
Douglas Adams is probably
dystopian, futuristic, like everyone lives in pods kind of science fiction, Paranoia is probably pretty close to what they would come up with.
Yeah, it's weird. The point here is there's a lot of these. And actually, this summer, Greater Than Games is releasing the source manuals for an RPG set in the Sentinels of the Multiverse universe. So if that's a game that you like to play with your kids, that's something that you can definitely check out. There is a starter pack for that available that we have a copy of that we're trying to get to the table.
So that's a more superhero-y kind of
Yep,
kind
definitely. Of yeah, setting. I mean, it's the Sentinels of the Multiverse card game and all of those expansions that came along with that one. So basically it is all of the superheroes that you know and love, but not licensed and so therefore named differently.
All right. That's fair. Not DC, not Marvel, right. But they look an awful lot like them.
Right. The point really is that there's a lot of different ways that you can approach RPGs. You can go with the kind of the classics, but you can scale it all the way down to something like a Hero Kids, which is still in that classics vein, but it's definitely distilled down to a younger level. If that's not really the realm you want to go into, but you really do want to encourage that imagination, you can go into something that's really thickly structured, like a Mice and Mystics. But if you like the freeform part of it and still want to make it approachable for kids, then you can kind of bring it back to something like Untold or Robot Riddle,
which has
some story around it, or even all the way down to Story Cubes.
I want to encourage all of you adults out there that if RPGs aren't really your thing, that's totally cool. Mm-hmm. Not really my thing either. But even getting into character when you're playing a standard board game... it can be a lot of fun and can get your kids to engage in that in a new way with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, like we're all about having fun, right?
Yes.
Episode 80 was games that are fun.
Fun, right? Fun.
And we have a lot of fun playing games with our kids. We played the Grim Forest tonight, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we're thankful that we have that opportunity, and we want to encourage you to have those opportunities with your children as well, because... that's the stuff that they're going to remember. And that's really why we do what we do.
I think that's about it. I think we've said everything that we can say.
Well, I would say to all of our listeners, if you have any thoughts about RPG-related things that we didn't talk about, maybe, there's so many of them out there, right? You can pick up a little paperback book that is all the structure of an RPG and then kick it off from there. There's the Mouse Guard RPG, for example, if you're into the Mouse Guard stuff, and they've got the whole source book and all that stuff. There's all the Pathfinder stuff, which is sort of... the RPG that came in and filled the void when D&D 4 was being terrible. You know, there's all, I mean, there's yeah. so many things out there, but I'd love to hear your thoughts, your experiences, really, maybe even some memorable times that you had playing RPGs with your kids, because that would be really interesting. So there's lots of different ways that you can tell us about those. What are some of those, hon?
You can contact us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
You can tell us in our community. Go to thefamilygamers.com/community. That will bring you to our Facebook community.
You can hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA.
Or on Instagram at FamilyGamersAA. You can email us, as always.
Mm-hmm. Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
One other thing that you could do, and we would love this, is if you could go to thefamilygamers.com/survey.
Please.
So we put up a survey, and we're going to leave it up maybe until the end of February just to really get some great response. And we have some amazing responses already.
At least another 2 weeks
or so. But at least another couple of weeks or so. And what we're doing is we are bribing you with some games from our collection to just answer some quick questions. Like, it's a 5-minute thing. We actually have a little list of how long it took everybody to take the survey. And the vast majority of these are
3 minutes.
3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. We would love it. It's a bunch of, you know, yes or no questions, some demographic-related questions, and then some stuff about what can we do better, what do you like, things like that.
What do we do well, and what could we do better? And we really want to know, because, I mean, we're not just doing this because we like to hear ourselves talk.
I like to hear you talk.
I like to hear you talk, but we can do that without microphones and hours of editing.
That's true. We can. So we would love it if you go there. Thefamilygamers.com/survey. Just fill out the quick survey. It'll take you less than 5 minutes. And you could win one of 5 games from our personal collection. So
yeah,
that would be awesome.
While you're online and feeling generous with your constructive criticism, please also leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast subscription. I keep saying that if we get more podcast reviews, I will read them on the show, and we're not getting any. So well, that's your fault, couple, listener. But, yeah.
Wow. You just got scolded by Anitra. Look it out. Look out. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. You know, we love all of this stuff. We love playing role-playing games with our kids.
We do.
And we love sharing all of that stuff with you, and we love hearing from you about those things. Don't forget to check out our reviews on the site, OK Play and Match Madness, we mentioned this week. We have a new review every Monday, so that's definitely something to keep your eyes out for. And that's going to be it for us this week. So until next week,
play games with your kids.